Hello and welcome back to Film Posers, where Buddy goes ranting, raving, reviewing cinema. My name is Josie Melendez, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Gabriela Burgos, Ana Sofia Cintrón, and Juan Mojica. Welcome, everybody. Hello.
What's
up?
Hoy estamos un poco lucido. Today we're going to explore the world, the great and wonderful world of pairings. There are good pairings in this life. Wine and cheese, ice cream and breakdowns. And now we're bringing you the ultimate pairing, Bad Bunny songs and films. And I mean, we've been plotting this episode for months. Let me tell you, months. I think more than six. And he has proven us right. We are psychics, because that video he dropped for Vaticano, our minds all collected into one singular brain cell. We created a hive mind.
It's no longer the Leo hive mind. It's the poser hive mind.
Amen.
Where can I log
He hacked our Google Docs and he was like, mira, me encanta the outline. Mind if I play around with it?
Mira, if he wanted into the group chat, he should have just said something. We would have let him in.
Like, can you just drop your favorite movies? Like,
I would have done it.
So basically, today we are going to be going through his discography. I was going to say filmography. Ooh, ya mismo, ya mismo. We're going to go through his discography, and we're just going to be sharing songs that we think would go. Like, if you like this song, watch this movie. It's as basic as that. Also, stay with us until the very end to find out our thoughts on Benito's latest album, and donde we pretend we are music critics as well as film critics. But at this point, who's pretending? Anyways, we're going to be talking about Nadie Sabe Lo Que Va a Pasar Mañana, so stick around for that. Pero, let's start with Por Siempre. Who wants to go first?
Por Siempre was the first time I saw Bad Bunny in El Choliseo. Not the first time I've seen him perform, but the first time I saw him in El Choliseo.
Cuando los tickets eran affordable.
Facts.
I mean, let's just hope that this upcoming show keeps that tradition alive. Let's just
say that. Which by the time we're recording this, he hasn't announced what's gonna happen with Puerto Rico, so either it's gonna be really great or he's just gonna make everyone run around como gallinitas de nuevo.
I hope he takes some notes.
Well, yes. So I did not follow that assignment as correctly as it was shown. What I did was I paired a song to a film and thought, here's how I would replace it in said film. So for Por Siempre, I decided to pair it with Estamos Bien and Bo is Afraid.
What kind of pairing is that?
Elabora. Explain.
Well, you know, in my defense, Your Honor, when I thought of this vision, I said to myself, first of all, Ari Aster le falta sabor. Let's just say that. I put that scene, if you've seen Bo is Afraid, you know there's a scene with a certain song by Miss Mariah Carey, the Queen of Christmas, Always Be My Baby.
Yes.
So I switched out Always Be My Baby for Estamos Bien. Because in the context of that scene and what happens to that woman and how the song just keeps playing in the background, after what has happened, since Ari Aster has a messed up mind, it fits even more than Always Be My Baby, because no estaba bien.
Honestly, the math was mathing here.
Honestly, 100. Yeah. No notes.
Okay.
4 plus 4, 8. Ari Aster's gonna release the director's cut, and he's gonna include Estamos Bien because of me.
Oh, so you know he's gonna have a very long email.
And I'm gonna be like, I gave this film a 3 out of 5. I think that's the miracle we wanted.
Oh, don't get me started.
I was there, babes. I know. We went through it together.
Yeah.
Okay, so I went with Ser Bichote. I didn't go as extra as Juan to think of a moment in a film that I could match it with. I just thought vibes. I thought poster. I thought neon. I thought synth.
Yes.
So, Ser Bichota, just the first movie that came to my mind was Hot Summer Nights. Because, you know, Timothée Chalamet, just a stringy little kid, just suddenly starts getting into hardcore stuff. And it's like, okay, Menelo. Siempre quiso ser Bichota. Pop off.
What a king.
I know. Yeah.
As someone who's seen that movie, I don't know how much it would have helped, but I would have given it an extra half a star if that were there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm exposing myself. Again, vibes. I have not seen the movie, but come on, you can't tell me this doesn't go together.
I see the vision.
Yeah. Exactly.
And if anything, you also thought, let me put it in the trailer, sell it so I can get more people to come see this film. You had your business hat on.
Yeah, because the only thing I've seen other than the trailer is just like seared into the back of my mind is that shot of him with like a bunch of cigarettes in his mouth.
Oh, that was like, crazy.
That's a thing, right? I'm not imagining it.
Yeah. No, it happened.
No.
It happened.
And for people that don't know, it's about a teen that winds up in over his head while dealing drugs with a rebellious partner and chasing the young man's enigmatic sister during the summer of 1991 that he spends on Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Fucking Massachusetts.
Wow.
Rest my case. Who's next? Gabriela.
Okay. So my song is La Romana, and the movie I chose is Oppenheimer.
Okay.
No. That's my favorite song from the album, so I wanted to use it, but then I could only think about the fire. No.
Okay, and I didn't think that was...
Before you justify
Okay, you like
before you justify it, I genuinely thought Fast and Furious would have claimed that by now and put it in their chase scene. Just saying.
They should. I mean, look at that music video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so obviously if you listen to La Romana, what you first think of is the fire, fire.
Oh my god.
So that was honestly my first thought. And I'm like, yeah, and then I just had this clear image of the testing of the bomb and just like that song playing instead of the score. And I was like, that would be hilarious. And then just like Oppenheimer walking around the test site and just like La Romana blasting. And I just thought, yeah, that would make so much sense. I think that would be his power song.
I want to know if Christopher Nolan actually hears Bad Bunny.
I don't know.
I feel like if it came on the radio, he didn't turn it off because he was very curious.
So my pick is Si Estuviéramos Juntos. And the movie that I chose was Torn Apart by Betrayal, Separated by War, Bound by Love.
Anna, what are you doing?
I chose Atonement.
Anna!
I knew it. Thank you for going through with this.
Violence.
Die. I can't do this.
Speak your truth, queen. Speak your truth. Don't let anyone silence you.
The fact that the whole movie made us see what would it be like if they're like the trials and tribulations of being in love and separated. And how dare Saoirse Ronan do that?
I still hate her.
Y me pregunto qué hubiera pasado si estuviésemos
juntos,
aún enamorado. Y me pregunto qué hubiera pasado si estuviésemos juntos, aún enamorado.
I choose violent. I wanted chaos.
And we thank you for that.
You're welcome. Because I also heard of myself with this pick.
Anna.
You would have popped off with that on Tumblr. Just saying.
Love that. Thank you.
It would have been either that or one of the films from the Before trilogy.
Ooh.
Y'all, we gotta
run to something.
This was a good pick. Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh yeah.
You really won.
Yeah.
So thank you. Oh my god. So I chose to, obviously because of those who haven't seen the movie. You guys have to see it to understand, but I chose this movie because of the sole reason of, like, It is the song, okay? It's what the song describes, and you know, if
I'm in pain.
You're in pain because I'm also in pain.
¿Alguien más tiene otra de por siempre?
Well, yes.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Oh, pop off.
Honorary mention. Just for the chaos. Since we're going with chaos today, you know, per usual. 200 millas por hora con Titán.
Pop off, King. Espérate.
If you know about the movie, you know what happens with the car. And you know that the song would low-key fit there in a TikTok edit.
I kind of want to see that now.
Yeah.
See, no, in the scene where she's like killing people in a house, también cabe ahí.
Wow, yeah. I forgot about that. I have to rewatch that movie. It's been too long.
Shout out to Hector for forcing me to sit through that film. I can't erase that film now.
Excuse me.
Oh my god.
And thank you, Anna, for guiding me through that movie in theaters.
Hablando de, Hector was very excited for this episode. So, Hector, we're finally doing it. It's here. Your name was mentioned.
Shout out to you, King.
Okay, shall we move on to Yo hago lo que me da la gana?
Yeah.
Well, yes.
AKA, the album rated the highest on Pitchfork.com because it is what? A masterpiece.
Yes.
Para Yo hago lo que me da la gana, I went with one of my favorites that I keep going back to that album, que es Si veo a tu mamá.
Yes.
I mean, I love that music video. So, me fui con una película que es que, again, the vibes, they just match so well. It's like, I feel like it encompasses that feeling of, it doesn't have a moment where it's like you're seeing your ex's mom or their parent, like that kind of feeling, because it sucks because you just walk up to them and it's like, ah, como está, mama, papá, papá. But there is just so much where she's just reminiscing throughout the entire movie about what was, etc., etc. So, nah, me fui con Someone Great, the rom-com from Netflix with Gina Rodriguez. And es que esta película, there's just something about it, to the point that Taylor Swift wrote a whole ass song inspired by this movie for a reason. If you haven't seen it, it is on Netflix. An aspiring music journalist, ha, viste, music journalist, on brand, lands her dream job and is about to move to San Francisco when her boyfriend of 9 years decides to call it quits. To nurse her broken heart, she and her two best friends spend one outrageous last adventure in New York City. The Bad Bunny vibes are all over this movie.
So. Oh, yeah. I see it. 100%.
See, but es que, again, there is no mom, but she's like running into, I think she runs into his sister y todo eso. So, like, perfect match. I rest my case. Literalmente, Taylor Swift wrote Death by a Thousand Cuts inspired by this movie.
What?
Really?
That's crazy.
Death by a Thousand Cuts is inspired by this movie. Oh, my. Catalina, when she's writing that letter at the end. And
oh, my God. Something about, like,
glass shattering.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, my anyways, God.
Netflix, I hope you paid her.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie. I really love this album, but this was actually the album that I found the hardest to pick a song for and match it with a film. That is until I realized I had the opportunity to do something once again chaotic, very much on brand. So the song I picked was, of course, La Santa featuring Daddy Yankee. And I've decided to pair it with an A24 film, one of their earlier films, if you will, where the taglines include, bad girls do it well. Good girls gone bad. A little sun can bring out your dark side. Wish you were here. And finally, spring break, bitches. That's right. I went with Spring Breakers.
This is me having a standing ovation.
This is my Cannes Film Festival moment where I receive a standing ovation.
This year.
We knew this was coming.
Thank you for your service, sir.
It had to make its way. I mean, I feel like Bad Bunny would like a Harmony Korine film.
Oh yeah.
And the thing is, I had two song options for this film. One was Un Verano Sin Ti. The other was La Santa. And I went with La Santa in the scene where they are partying in Florida before they transition into the slow motion part where it goes into Selena Gomez calling her grandma. And the song is playing in the background. And you kind of hear it a little bit, but it is slowed down. And I said, La Santa kind of fits that to a T, because it does fit that spring break vibe. You know, everyone is partying. Everyone is doing some acts that they will probably question themselves about 2 weeks later. And the other choice I had for it, I'm not going to lie, was 2016. But I kind of like La Santa a little bit more for it. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
I like this arrangement better.
Yeah. I had a vision in my head. Like, I was going, Harmony Korine, hear me out. Re-release this film with this part.
Hear me out, King.
Thank you for your service. Thank you.
My pick. This was also really difficult because I really like this album, but I settled and I chose Está Cabrón Ser Yo. And the movie that I think goes with it as good as a wine of glass, or a glass of wine, The Devil Wears Prada. Imagine the scene when Miranda Priestly first walks into the runway offices. And instead of having the score, you're just blasting Está Cabrón Ser Yo as she walks in through the hallways filled with people that are terrified of her.
Yeah, okay, I see Está Cabrón Ser Yo y pensé en Miranda Priestly.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Here's the thing, respectfully. I love the music they have for that section. For her.
That movie is perfect, yes, but just in an alternate world.
In an alternate world, I would have used it in the beginning where you see the women getting ready. Because that would have emphasized that cabrón ser una mujer in this male-dominated industry. And you then emphasize how Nate tries to prioritize himself over Andy's job. And you kind of connect it a little bit there more than with Miranda Priestly. And if you're going to do Miranda Priestly, you could do it in Paris.
Yeah, I was also thinking of the scene in Paris where she says, oh, don't be ridiculous, Andy. Everyone wants to be us.
Ese mismo. Everybody. That's where I
feel. That scene as well, I'm thinking. I think that scene as well encompasses this song. So
100%.
That is my pick. That is my pick. For.
Honestly, I need someone to do edits.
Yeah, we're going to coming soon to the film posters TikTok.
I need these CapCut edits. This pick was a little bit hard to do, but at the end, it came out very unhinged. This is the most unhinged pick I have on my list.
Ooh.
Love that. And the song is Puesto Pa Guerrilla.
Go off.
Puesto Pa Guerrial.
Pa Guerrial, espérate.
Yeah.
But in her defense, she was pronouncing it just in case she had to deal with an American who likes to butcher Spanish song titles. So I understood where you were coming from, Queen. You had your business hat on.
Thank you, King.
Making sure it is puesto para guerrial.
With the L.
Sí, bien puesto para guerrial.
Bien puesto para guerrial. Ahí con la L. Okay, entonces. So the movie that I picked was Dodgeball, A True Underdog Story.
Justice for Camp Rock. Nigga, Camp Rock. Oh my god, no.
No.
School of Rock. Anna. School of Rock. School of Rock.
Hear me out. Hear me out, okay?
Give this woman her flowers.
Wait. Hear me out. So, the reason why I choose is because in this movie, there are like specific scenes where like the teams have to go off with each other, and the one who wins gets to have the gym. So in that moment, when the balls are throwing everywhere and they're hitting and shit like that, they're like, you know what? Puesta pa guerrillar. That's the song. That's the song that goes with the movie.
I just thought of a genius idea.
What?
That same song.
Uh-huh.
In the He's All That dance battle scene.
Oh my god.
I love it.
Imagínate Addison Rae contra Madison Pérez in that dance con esa canción, and they're doing those dance moves.
Just in general, that song with like a montage of like a fighting scene I jam.
Mortal Kombat is shaking.
Yo. And that is my unhinged pick. If those who haven't watched Dodgeball,
cinema.
I totally recommend it if you want to have some laughs.
A esa también le pega Bottoms.
Yes.
Ooh.
100%. But at the same time, Josie, you mentioned Camp Rock.
Yeah.
No, yo me corregí. School of Rock. School of Rock.
No, no, no. Wait, you're onto something. Camp Rock 2, the final jam.
Wait, the specific scene where like people are doing like the hand dance?
Yes, that's exactly it.
And it's that scene.
But they start with dun, dun, Camp Rock, dun, dun, Camp Rock. And then it goes in the Puerto Baguerrial.
No. Ay. Oh my God. Vámonos a mi álbum favorito. El último tour del mundo.
Yay!
So, for this one, I chose Antes que se acabe because I fucking love that song. And, Dios mío, si estás triste, pon esa canción y el día se te va a mejorar. De alguna forma. No importa qué. So, with that being said, just take everything I just said, put in a little bottle, a little jar, shake it up. What do you see? You see the worst person in the world.
Yeah.
I do. Yes. I do.
I see.
Yes.
Sí, porque es que, no, hombre, voy a buscar lyrics y todo. Hasta mira, lo tengo ya en mi search history. Google is like, I got you. Un shot de amor por la casa que yo invito para celebrar que respiramos. Eso es un mito. Llorar nunca ha sido delito. Y los días lluviosos a veces son los más bonitos. Pero hoy salió el sol y me siento mejor. Lo malo pasó. El tiempo es mi doctor. La vida una movie. Soy mi propio director. Don't tell me that is not this girl trying to figure out her life. Case closed.
Yes.
I'm done.
The points were made.
The case
closed. Vamos a celebrar que respiramos un mito. Literalmente, the iconic scene where they're just sharing a smoke. I rest my case.
100%.
Facts.
I have spoken. Juan, what do you got?
Okay, so this is also difficult for me because I have 2 song options and 3 films. But ultimately, I have to go with Joey Toasi, and just to continue the theme of chaos.
Love that.
I went with Space Jam.
Juan.
Gracias.
And iconic. Here,
and I know there are people ready to turn off this episode, but hear me out. Listen to me. When they're walking out onto the basketball court after they're suffering that loss and Michael Jordan gives them that inspirational speech that forces them to keep going, in that moment you start blasting Joey Toasi and it's Jover. It's so Jover. Like, that would just hit. In
so
that
you're
moment,
talking about this scene when they drink the water and they say they get all extra strong?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay. But what about Zoolander?
Oh,
wait, true. Hold up, you're popping off.
True. También.
Rest your case, Josie, wait.
Okay, I'm just picturing him when they're walking down the runway and they're doing Blue Steel, you go get Yoitase.
Yep. The other choice I had for that one was
it's such a good song.
And it can pump you up and it can be really good for a montage scene, which is exactly what I had for my second choice of that song, which was He's All That from Netflix. When they're trying to do the let's fix the loser's wardrobe to make him look like a hottie again.
Please.
And they're literally changing his clothes. And I'm like, yeah, the Joey Toasi fits here. But Space Jam, that scene would have been superior. Oh, yeah. Not with Space Jam, it would have won Best Picture at the Oscars. 100%.
I see the vision. Imagine the announcement, and it's just like...
Oh, my God. Wait. What if they had used Joey Toasi para Clifford? Because that's how he is.
Oh, my God.
And that's how I get Clifford back into Best Picture.
I love that.
As someone who saw this beautiful film in theaters, I 100% agree with this vision.
It's just
stop sleeping on Clifford, people.
It's really fussy. And his floppy little red ears.
And he's just running around New York, just terrifying people. Love it.
Yeah.
Here for it. So that was my official pick. My backup choice was 120 for Mission Impossible 2. The scene where he's on the motorcycle.
Yo.
John Woo would have had a wonderful time editing that scene together.
Okay, so I actually have two for this album. So I'm going to start off with Maldita Pobreza. And the movie I chose is Les Mis.
Please elaborate.
They're all poor.
Yeah! And they're all... So we already know that Les Mis is already a musical. And there's also, like, an adaptation that's not musical. But let's just stick with the musical version for the sake of this exercise. Just imagine you have Jean Valjean after he has the whole that he served 19 years for stealing a piece of bread, and he has this song where he's like his soliloquy where he's like, freedom at last, how strange the taste. Scratch that, have him sing Maldita Pobreza.
Maldita Pobreza.
Have him scream those lyrics instead. Pobreza. Have him just scream Maldita Pobreza, or maybe even better, just have him scream it in front of Javert, and then instead of him saying, oh, I stole a loaf of bread, my sister's child was close to death, he just goes, yo quiero comprar un Ferrari a mi novia. Any musical people that have seen the movie or the stage adaptation, just picture it. He just sings Maldita Pobreza instead of the soliloquy to Valjean, to Javert. I rest my case.
I just imagine like those fast edits of like,
yes,
that is like 2.5. just people singing and dancing Maldita Pobreza.
Pero quiero Louboutin pa mi Cinderella. Come on, like, come on. Y pa Hawaii, después pa Coachella. Hello. That's what Valjean wants. He didn't go to prison for stealing a loaf of bread. He went to prison because he wanted to buy. He wanted to be rich. And then the other one that I have as a bonus is Sorry Papi. And the movie I chose is Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet.
Damn, son. Elaborate.
I don't say to mommy.
Classic. Classic. Sorry, Papi, and call me by your name.
No! You know, it's that moment. Just again, picture in the Baz Luhrmann version when they first see each other through the fish tank. Romeo gets over Rosaline in 3 seconds. As soon as he sees Juliet, he's completely forgotten Rosaline's name. So just picture this song playing, but then it's like from her. But then, you know, you see it from his perspective. He's saying like, "Oh my God, this woman has seduced me through this fish tank." And it's like, la tierra tiemble cuando te mueves. Si es por mí, te doy de viernes a jueves. No hay quien la releve. Yeah.
Yo todavía no he tenido el honor de ver la película. So. I know. They just mentioned, I'm watching season 4 of Gilmore Girls for the first time. And Lorelai just mentioned Baz Luhrmann. Yeah, oh my God.
Yes.
His name.
I'm in the same boat as you, Josie. I haven't seen the movie either.
Oh my God. No one here has seen it?
Yo creo que Juan sí. Juan?
Juan!
I think I did once, but I barely remember it.
Oh my God, I'm alone in this. Okay.
Alone. You are not alone.
But yeah, but this whole thing happens.
No.
So this whole thing happens from Romeo's perspective, you know. La nena es top. Cacha todo lo drop. Chiquita y peligrosa como una Glock. Ya casi no sube story, mucho menos TikTok. Yo soy fan de ella. Like, just that, all of that, that's all, everything that's going on from Romeo's.
I just want to say que la línea de have always spoken to me, la de chiquita y peligrosa como un Glock, me identifico.
Anyway, Romeo and Juliet, Baz Luhrmann's version.
Sorry, papi.
Sorry, papi. I swear I will edit sorry, papi on top of the tank scene to prove my point.
Thank you. Thank you for your service.
I will do it.
It's playing in the background. Yeah. Like in the speakers, and they're just staring at each other. I can see it.
Yes.
Anna! With this album, I chose a song that I feel that is very underappreciated because it's so short.
Oh my god, I know what's coming. No, this is my favorite song. I'm sorry. I looked at the list.
Okay. So the song is called Trellas.
Yes.
And I paired it with Past Lives.
Girl, you are speaking to me and a certain percentage of the population.
I'm a cook now. So let me pop up the lyrics. So there's like a specific lyric that goes, usted ya he viajado en el tiempo, he conocido el espacio y no encuentro a nadie como tú. So that specific lyric reminds me of the scene where both of them are talking and they're talking about what would it be like them in their past lives and in their future lives, like if they were gonna meet each other and such.
Yes.
And I was like, this is the perfect pick for the song.
No, she keeps winning, y'all.
Oh my god.
No, this is perfect. Literalmente, yo vi en tu lista y yo, she cooked.
I'm serving 5-course meals here.
You're standing next to Anya Taylor-Joy and you said, this is the menu?
Again, I just thought it was such a perfect pick. Y como que, like, the song itself, it's just like, it just gives me past life vibes. Like, with the story and, like, and also it has to do with space and, like, time and such like that. I was like, damn, this is it. Y pues sí, that's my pick.
Y ahora llegamos al último. Just kidding. Hay uno más que salió, pero por ahora. Un verano sin ti, aka the one that took over the radio waves until the new one just came out. Pero,
woo.
¿Qué puedo decir? What did I pick? I picked, of course, I had to pick Agosto, porque nací en Agosto. As simple
Fair.
As that.
Yes.
Y pues, again, I'm exposing myself. I have not seen this movie. Pero es que cuando escucha Agosto, it's about hoping the summer doesn't end, que este momento con estas personas se queden. Just, you know, those summer vibes that you don't want to end. That feeling of being conscious of your mortality, but also fully enjoying that all we have is now, this moment. But it also causes you to ignore everything that's happening around you. And you're not fully aware that there is certain turmoil. And estás con esta, con, ni que la gárgola, con, like, it's late, we're recording this at 9 p.m. Lo que le pone a los caballos.
Ay.
¿Qué es lo que le pone a los caballos? En los, gracias, Google. Son las gringolas. Son como gringolas en los ojos, and you don't see that the fact that eventually everything, all your responsibilities are going to catch up to you. So, me fui con y tu mamá también.
Yes.
Sí, no sé qué más
I see
scene.
It.
It just seems, again, I'm exposing myself, I haven't seen it, pero again, you just have to look at the Criterion Collection, the art on it, and you're like, Agosto.
It's okay.
Loki thought you were going to go with Aquamarine, but go off.
Yo.
Bueno. Se pega también.
The Leo Hive Mind, undefeated.
Yeah, summer movies. Ooh, the last song también, the Miley Cyrus.
Yes. Ooh, 100%.
Yes. I'm thinking summer movies now. I can hit Taco Marine and I'm like, ooh, summer.
El Jory Party. El Jory Party.
Juan, take it away.
I love Un Verano Sin Ti. I remember vividly being sad that I did not have a ticket to go see it, the concert. And we were recording an episode on Film Posers that night, the night before. And I delayed the taping a little bit because Tiquetera came through for me and got me two last minute tickets to the show the next day, where I witnessed Queen Villana Antillano sing the Bizarrap session live. And my section failed her, but not me.
As you should.
So core memory right there. So I have one pick of a film I have not seen, but Twitter gave me a scene where I'm like, okay, maybe this could fit. And I have one pick where I have seen the film and I really enjoy the film. So I'm going to start with a film I have not seen. And I'm pretty sure the posers are going to say you're out of your mind, but it wouldn't be the first time. So let's keep up the consistency. I chose Efecto for After Sun.
Oh, Juan.
Yes.
You haven't get out of seen here. After Sun?
No, I haven't seen it. Keep in mind, I did not want to do award season last year because it got so toxic at one point that I just did not see a
it's
lot of the award
toxic,
season films.
It's always toxic, but don't blame it's it on always... After Sun.
Oh, 20, no, it's not on After Sun. I just couldn't afford that, too. I couldn't afford to cry that much. Like, I had read a bit about it, and I'm like, ooh. Huang's not emotionally ready for this. But there was a
you're
scene
never
where
emotionally dancing. Ready for After Sun. You just sit down and you
nah.
go through it.
That sounds depressing as hell.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a scene where he's dancing.
We don't talk about that.
That's where Efecto
yeah, the song, I'm reading the lyrics right now, and the song is perfect for him.
Right? So let's switch to the other film that I have seen.
R.I.P.
All right, then. So the film I did see that I feel fits perfectly mm-hmm. with Un Verano Sin Ti. The song is Pari, featuring Raúl Alejandro.
Mm-hmm.
And the film is The Bling Ring.
Nice. Oh, my okay. God.
And the song okay. goes party, in the party, club party. Scene. Now, this club scene has the song originally Levels by Avicii. And it's a reworked version of it where the vibes are there. But and they're in LA, but it's a slowed down version of the song
mm-hmm.
and a slowed down remixed version of Body, where it's the chorus in the background going slower. I feel like Sofia Coppola just would do that and would make it look amazing.
Yes.
Okay, yes, I agree.
And that is yep. my case. Thank you.
Yep.
My pick. My pick. Era Enseñame Bailar, pero, the song that I paired with was Happy Feet and Let Me Cook.
Yours no. is better. Yours no. is better.
Five star meal.
So, the specific scene where Elijah Woods sees Brittany Murphy for the first time after a while, and they just start dancing, and everybody starts dancing. I was like, you know what? That's it. That's the scene. Imagine just putting that song in its escena.
George Miller would have won Best Director for that.
Literal.
Yes. Okay. So my pick for Un Verano Sin Ti is Titi Me Preguntó. And the movie that I paired it with is The Other Woman.
Okay. Which version of The Other Woman? I need
the
a specific one.
Yes, the one that came, the latest one that came out with Kate Upton. And...
Oh, and the Cameron Diaz classic. Yes, the Cameron Diaz classic.
Yes.
100%.
Yes. Do you see 100%. The vision one?
I get the vision. 100%.
Thank you. Finally.
It took us a while, but we got there, bestie. We got there.
Damn.
That's the power of Benito.
Yeah, because, you know, in Titi Me Preguntó, he has... This is one where he goes through like a list of women's names, and like that's the husband
in the other woman. He's sleeping with half of New York.
He didn't clear the roster, but Cameron Diaz cleared the roster for him.
Yes. And then they all get revenge from him. It's beautiful.
It's cinema. It was trending on TikTok for a while, and I was so happy. It was so great to see.
I love that movie.
Once again, I am exposing myself. Yo no sé qué película están hablando.
Pero está bien. I own it. We can fix that, Anna.
Okay.
Yes.
So the lead actor is the guy that played Jaime Lannister in Game of Thrones.
Okay.
So he's the cheating husband. Then we have Cameron Diaz, Leslie Mann, and Kate Upton. So Leslie Mann is his wife.
Uh-huh.
So he's cheating on her with Cameron Diaz and Kate Upton, and possibly more and more women. But those are the three leads.
That's crazy.
And so they all find out, and they unite to bring him down and destroy him. And that's on feminism.
And don't forget the best supporting actress winner, who should have been
Nicki Minaj.
Nicki Minaj is Cameron Diaz's secretary. Mama, she was acting.
she was. But yes, so Titi me preguntó, and the other woman, they go together like bread and butter.
I could have put El Apagón for bodies, bodies, bodies.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
I could have cooked there.
I'm here. Jessie? I'm here.
Oh.
I'm here. I'm having a photo of Paul Mescal on my Pinterest. Anyways.
That's so fair.
Now we're going to go into a bonus round. The singles. Because I needed an excuse to talk about. I think this is my favorite Bad Bunny song. Yonaguni. Yonaguni and I have a very close, intimate relationship. It was one of my top songs the year it came out on Spotify. Thank you very much. Spotify Wrapped is coming up soon. Make sure to stream the songs you want to stream. But I'll see. Potato Potato, I matched it with Bridget Jones's Diary.
Excellent. Love it.
Orca Camp, what's up? I'm sorry. Which song could perfectly encompass this? And I went not with the Me Dejé Llevar Más Por El music video, which is just him like taking up hobbies and like doing different things and trying to forget this person that he lost, which really the music video, fun fact, or this is just me looking into it. I'm pretty sure that this is not made up, but it was a representation of how he said in Yo Hago Lo Que Me Da La Gana that he was going to retire. And then he said it again, en el último tour del mundo. And then he actually took a break, and he was like, you know what? I miss making music. So that's the music video. He just misses not just a person, but his life. So yeah, Bridget Jones. And not just the first one. I think this could go for all of them, because it's just her figuring it out. And then she thinks that she's over this man. But then she's like, you know what? My life with this person will actually be pretty good.
I 100% see the vision for this.
Yes.
That's my class. You're all dismissed. Next course. Gabriela.
So the single that I picked is Callaita. And I paired it with, yes, we love Callaita. And I paired it with A Quiet Place.
I'm not worried.
Wait, which one? Are we talking part one?
Por favor, you know the answer.
Part two.
Good.
Hey, se quedó pensando un momentito.
Part two, obviously. In honor of our boy, Killian Murphy.
Mr. Oppie himself.
El papi chulo de los papi.
You know.
El papi chulo de los papi.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, I think it's a play, obviously, in A Quiet Place. They gotta be quiet. Or they die. And so Bad Bunny's out here telling them to be quiet, but also to be sexy. And it's a very, you know, there's Killian Murphy and Emily Blunt, so, yes.
Who reunited on Oppenheimer this year.
Oh my god, I forgot.
Low-key, I thought when he said A Quiet Place too, I'm like, oh, she's talking about the scene where the phone went off in the store and then the alien just came in and killed him. And it was just the ringtone of Ayae Kayaita. Bang!
Yes!
And the monster comes in.
No, maybe, you know, at the end, how they figure out with, like, the wave frequencies that it was the song to kill them. Like, this, instead of, like, having that song play, it's just Kayaita. And, like, Bad Bunny saves the world.
Honestly.
Damn.
So there you go. Just, like, replace that song with Kayaita. You know, world saved.
Anna.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So, when we were talking about making this episode, this was the first song that I chose because immediately I thought about this movie. So, the single that I chose is Amor Foda.
The OG. Did you know that that's how I got into Bad Bunny?
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Con ese canción.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a good song.
It is.
The movie that I chose is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Okay, Anna. Anna.
Did you know?
The reason that Anna. I chose this is what?
I'm just going to put a timer on you.
Wait. It's about the journey.
Before you go into it, Gordon Ramsay, hand over your apron. Anna is the top tier chef today.
Thank you. This song, it feels that it encapsulates, like, the movie, like, so much. And just the way that he's, like, he just wants to forget about everything that happened in the relationship. And, like, but he stills, like, yearns for, like, that feeling with it. So it just feels exactly what the movie is and, like, the essence of the movie itself. Medio la mala ahí. I was like, damn, I already did that to myself.
No quiero que más nadie me hable el amor. Uh-huh. Ya me cansé.
Yeah. She literally, like, the main character, she literally was like, I am done. Y como que the thought of choosing just to erase the memories and everything, it's just, wow. Wow.
Okay, Juan. Take us away.
The way I just came up with another option just now. Okay.
What?
So, I'm sorry. Matchmaker here. I've got visions, and it's great to execute them. So, the newest one I just came up with is Diles for Magic Mike XXL.
Oh, my God.
Diles.
Que yo me sé tu pose favorita.
Oh my god!
Tell me I'm wrong. Come on. You can't. I clocked that to you. You can't tell me I'm wrong. Originally, I had Zola with another single before I switched it to one from Nadie Sabe Lo Que Va a Pasar Mañana. But since we're approaching this part of the episode, I'm just going to tell you what the original song was before I go into the new one. The song I originally had for Zola was Creepy Kush in the club scene.
Wow.
And let me just say, because it was Florida, it fits so much better. However, I ended up going with a different song for Zola, which I just got from Nadie Sabe Lo Que Va a Pasar Mañana. And the single I ultimately ended up choosing originally, I consider this a lead single. So in my mind, this counts. And I chose Where She Goes, which will most likely be on my Spotify Wrapped at the end of 2023. It's probably going to be my top five songs. But I chose Where She Goes for Hustlers. And it's replacing the Usher club scene. I love the scene with Usher's song of Love in the Club. But the fact that that song, Where She Goes, just fits with how everyone's moving from around in the club and how they're just dancing for Usher. I could just imagine Bad Bunny showing up in the club and everyone just runs out on stage and starts performing for him. Honestly, that would have been amazing. And I didn't want to replace Gimme More because that scene is iconic. And that is how I decided to cook today.
Yes.
It's ironic that we finished this off with the singles, considering he started with the singles era before he was able to finally make albums. But Ozake, it's a wonderful full circle, because a lot of what's going on with Nadie Sabe Lo Que Va a Pasar Mañana is that people believe he's going back to his roots. So let's talk about it. Llegamos al bonus content. Our little review de Nadie Sabe Lo Que Va a Pasar Mañana. Thoughts. But also, I think we can start with this con Vaticano, el music video. Because I Googled, because I was like, is there a complete list of compiling all the movie references that he makes? And there isn't. So los film posters están aquí to like, caramba. I was honestly expecting someone to have written something already, pero they only focused on Nosferatu y yo. What are y'all doing? Hello.
It's not the only reference.
There's more than just the German expressionism from that film.
Y mira, que estamos hablando de eso ese día. German Expressionism is one of my favorite movements. So pop off, King. Anna, you mentioned one. Pop off.
Oh, yeah. I mentioned The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Yes.
Definitivamente.
Amen.
Frankenstein, el original.
Metropolis.
Metropolis. Night of the Living Dead.
Yes.
And interesting enough, he pays homage to, in my opinion, one of the greatest music videos of all time. It's a classic Fight Me Thriller by Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And in one look, My Chemical Romance. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong.
Wait, hold up. Wait. Explain.
Listen, don't tell me that you don't see him with the emo swoop hair in one shot. And don't tell me he wasn't trying to be Gerard Way in that.
Oh, my God.
There was a shirt on his website. I don't know if it's still there. But you know what? I saw that shirt and I said, that is a My Chemical Romance serve.
Also, in the music video for Monaco, he had Al Pacino. And here he has Steve Buscemi. So here he clearly wants to act so badly. And I'm give him a chance.
Drop your letterbox, King.
Drop your letterbox.
Can we log Vatican and letterbox?
We should be allowed to.
Yeah,
I'm gonna try to do that because I was taught how to upload things to letterbox.
Yes, that's what I was gonna say.
While you're at it, could you log the listening party? Because I would love to log that as well. Please.
Okay, since you were at the listening party, thoughts 100%. On the album.
Okay, so the listening party was definitely an experience. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I was definitely hearing the album before a lot of people, even though he started at like 11:30, so I had like a 30-minute head start. I really enjoyed the album. I definitely think he went back to his roots. I don't consider it a perfect album because there are 22 songs. And at one point, I think you could cut it off here and be set.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do enjoy the album overall. My only thing is because it's so long, I don't go back to every song.
Neither do I. I have my picks.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I don't go back to the ones towards the end of the album. Mm-hmm. Like, I think after Thundery Lightning and Perro Negro, I stop, which is interesting because I was really looking forward to Europa and I liked it when I listened to it, but at the same time I was with my friend Sewa, and every time I'm like, okay, so Young Miko had a featuring, then Villana's gonna get a featuring, Villana has to get a featuring, and I saw the name Vaticano and I'm like, this has to be Villana. So Benito, listen, I know you may not be a fan of podcasts right now, but let me cook. I've been cooking this entire episode. Benito, make the Vaticano remix con Villana. Trust me. Top Billboard Hot 100 number one hit. Like, trust me on this one. Let me cook. Give Villana a solid minute, if not more, to go off on the bars. Partiste. Yeah.
If this episode is anything, it's basically an entire list of recommendations for him to watch.
Yes.
And the same at the Happy Feet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Although,
Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say, fun fact, he loves Kung Fu Panda, and I just realized I needed to find a way to put Kung Fu Panda with one of his songs. So, let me see.
Pero sé que when we were doing making the line for to see Bad Bunny on SNL, I kept hoping he was gonna sing Vaticano on SNL because I thought that would have been such a great power move. And he didn't. But the fact that then it's his next single, I'm like,
yeah,
that was, I was onto something. You How are. Dare you? How dare you? You were gonna do it eventually.
Yeah.
I think it's because SNL was not ready for Vaticano. Oh. Although low key, I thought he was gonna perform Mr. October because it was the month of October. It seemed like the right thing to capitalize on.
He played it safe with
that. He did well.
Yeah,
I would have loved. Yeah, Monaco was amazing. Yeah. But I genuinely thought he was gonna switch preview for Where She Goes, since more people would have known it and he would have gotten
Monaco,
more.
Monaco se iba a dar. Esa yo la pegué. Monaco se iba a dar because it was the most recent single. He had to sing it. But I was hoping the other one would be another song from the album, not preview.
Yeah.
Que fuera Where She Goes, por lo menos, not preview.
Which, by the way, at the listening party, that's the song where we went off the hardest. Claro, because we knew it. But when Where She Goes came out, you know what? Se me salió un espíritu bien perrish, if we will. He really had his moment because, you know what? I sung it at the top of my lungs. He didn't sing it, but the song was on and we just sang for him. So I genuinely thought, okay, you're going to try to do this on SNL because, for those of you who don't know, Grammy season is coming up. The nominations are coming up. Where She Goes technically qualifies for categories like Record of the Year, Song of the Year. Came out in May. You have the cutoff date of October 1st, more or less. So the album wasn't going to make this year's Grammys unless he submitted it early, which Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett did. There's a whole thing on that. But here I'm thinking, if you do Where She Goes, get the hype back up, then that'll help the voters vote the song for those big categories. So when he did preview, I'm just like, interesting. Very interesting.
Nobody was singing it back. The entire, we were there. The studio was silent. I mean, people were clapping. People but I mean, at moment, okay, he would stop singing, so the crowd would sing with him. Y estaba calladito. Yeah.
Choices were being made in that moment.
Yeah, that song is not a hit. Retire it.
Honestly, if he keeps performing it, it's because he's teasing. The rumor is, for those who are following the tea, the double album is coming. And the preview is the second album, because it ends with preview of Lo Que Viene Próximo, what's coming next, and that would be his next album, which is kind of insane, because he was saying at the beginning of the year, I'm only going to do 10 tweets, and then I'm not doing music this year, which, I mean, love that you changed your mind. Not gonna lie. But with preview, if you keep emphasizing it, it's because you want us to believe something new is coming. And to already do another album so close to this one would be wild. But then at the same time, I'm like, okay, so you're gonna perform, what, all 45 songs of these two albums on World's Most Expensive Tour? Like, I'm interested. I want to know what he does. I like preview, but I don't visit it as often. I think that's the song I visit the least. If I were to rank them,
I don't know.
I think Comprido will be at the bottom, maybe. Just because
with this album, I have my favorites, and that's where I stand. I couldn't get through it. I usually am able to do the whole listening party and listen to his albums when they drop, but I remember I fell asleep.
Oh wow!
So I didn't finish him, and then I listened to it again from the beginning on my way to work, and I finished the album. I was like, ooh, it really, I kept sharing that meme of the horse drawing where it's super elaborate at the beginning and then it's like a silly little drawing by the end.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
After a while, they all sound the same. It's kind of a mid-album, but it does have some songs that are crazy good. Como, again, Monaco, Jesus Christ, great. It starts off so strong, but después, they just all sound the same. I would have cut it at Thunder Lightning. Tengo que volver a escuchar Perro Negro. But there's a really good the Pitchfork review that they did for the album made me feel less crazy because they put it into words perfectly.
No, okay, it just feels like con this album because I heard it like completely like 3 times and I was like, at the end of the day, it just feels an album that can you just go for specific songs. Sí. Y como que it's kind of sad because then I just like, I went back to Un Verano Sin Ti and it's an album that I can hear no from skips. Beginning to end. No skips.
We wanted like, no skips.
He pop up so hard in that album. Y es como que con, like, he... Damn, es que está complicado
sí.
La cosa.
En verdad me da pena porque entiendo sí. The reluctance to being like, mira, esto no es un verano sin ti. Yeah. Let it go. Moscow Mule is gone. Like, the old Bad Bunny is dead.
Yeah.
No entiendo su frustración, pero sí. Tampoco, like, fully forget about that album because that album put him on the map even more than he already was. And I think... Ay, la otra cosa frustrante es que muchos ponen en la Pitchfork article es que Bad Bunny used to do such a good job of making it relatable to Puerto Rico and our experiences como Maldita Pobreza. Y después tiene Mayra la Defensa, que fueron mucha gente, Juan can speak to this, mucha gente que salieron de Listening Party, que es como que, no todo el mundo va a entender este disco porque está como la experiencia puertorriqueña y es como que sí, pero después, like, por ejemplo, nosotros que también somos parte de esa experiencia puertorriqueña, we don't relate to it entirely. Y, again, that Pitchfork review, the thing that they pointed out, es que a lot of it is glorifying and glamorizing this kind of height and reach that he's gotten to right now, which seems very typical of mainstream, like, Drake American rappers. Which is something that Kendall Jenner's circle is like very common. Y pues, I think that's the turnoff for me.
But here's the thing. I also understand his frustrations from the point of the same thing I feel Rihanna's going through, even though I don't know her personally. It's very hard to make an album with no skips like Anti, like Un Verano Sin Ti, and then have to deliver the next project because everyone's going to be expecting that high. And no matter what you could put out, everyone's going to compare it to that because it's like, oh my God, this is like a Magnus Opus, if you will.
Pero no sé si son todos álbumes antes de ese. Último no se compara a ninguno de los previos.
Yeah.
Except for those specific songs como Fina is really good. Monaco.
I like Teléfono Nuevo, not gonna lie.
Teléfono Nuevo también. Vogue 787? Vuelve Can Vivir is really good.
I really like Vogue 787. And I like that Madonna emphasized it. That was originally my choice for Zola. Because I thought we were picking songs from the new album for films. And I'm like, oh, Vogue 787, the club scene. 100% is Zola. And I will say, I definitely think... Going to the Listening Party and hearing that album live with a crowd of people definitely helped. And I think made my experience with the album better. And I think that's also why I really like it, because it did feel like a different way to experience the album for the first time. However, there were people that left. That is 100% true. Someone in my area left, I think, after Cybertruck or Ibiki.
Pero esas son las primeras.
Yeah. He was son buena. He was pissed. He was like, he like waved his hand down. I was like, no, esto es una mierda. And he just left. And I'm like,
damn.
Bro. I didn't know if that person bought a shirt or not. I don't think so. But because if you would have bought a shirt, I would have just been like, que size tu eres? Hand it over. T. All right. So the ticket prices for the Listening Party were, the highest was $60. Plus fees and such to go downstairs. My ticket was like 25-ish. And I was like, in Los Palomares, I was like up there in the Choliseo. But I didn't mind because I had a really good view. Like I was right next to the stage. I got to see a little bit of everything. I was happy. And I'm 6'2". So I have no problem seeing from there. The stage setup was really cool. And obviously he comes down in his car.
I don't know if anyone's seen it. I wrote a skit where he does that called Bad Bunny the Musical for my grad school program. And then he did that, yo, Diablo.
You were onto something again.
The manifestation worked.
Uh-huh. But cool. The whole joke is that everything he tries to do for the show catches fire.
Well, that was not the case. A lot of the songs for me were fire. But, yeah, I go to the merch line. I wanted to be there early because I'm like, look, it's a Bad Bunny event. There's no way he's not doing merchandise. And I had a feeling that the merchandise prices would be higher than the last time because, you know what? He's doing the event for so cheap and so last minute. He has to make up the profit elsewhere, which is definitely a Kris Jenner move, 100%. She is an incredible businesswoman. So where the shirts for Un Verano Sin Ti were $30 flat, these were $45 plus Puerto Rico tax, so it came out to like $50.17.
Jeez.
Well, hang on. It was $45 online, because he then released the shirts online during the listening party, like right before, and it was $45 plus the tax plus shipping. You should have told me. I could have probably gotten it. And the thing is, it's really good quality. I'll give him that. Because if it would have been bad quality, I would have been pissed. But he doesn't do anything of bad quality with the merch.
Del concierto de Un Verano Sin Ti, and it's super good quality.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The merchandise that I got, the shirt that I got is very much, in my mind, it's very much Where She Goes, the music video where he's riding on a horse on the back. And he has the new logo in the front. It's a really good shirt. Love it. The merch went up, which is something I expected him to do in the United States and everywhere else, not here. But I also, from a business perspective, understood. Maybe I don't agree with it, but I did understand from the business perspective of why he had to go that high. And at least he didn't just do it like, okay, Puerto Rico's going to pay that much, and then everyone else in the States is going to pay a lower price because that's bad business. That's bad business. Everyone who wanted it online ended up paying more, so that's fine. I got to take it home. I didn't have to wait 15 to 30 business days, so I was happy. But yeah, the listening party, it helped with my album experience. I really like the album overall. In terms of my best albums of the year list, it does make the list. It does. Do I listen to everything on it? I listen to a grand majority that I've revisited. Yes. But I will agree that it's not up to par of Un Verano Sin Ti. And even then, For Siempre, I will say clears it by a little bit. I'm sorry. For me, that one's a classic. Maybe with more time, it'll switch. I really liked it. The listening party is probably why I liked it more. Being in the crowd with everyone, just experiencing it for the first time, it heightens the senses. It really does. Even if people were leaving.
So, going back to the album a little bit, like, we all agree that this album definitely feels like we just go back
mid
to some songs.
Yeah.
I never said it was mid. Thank you. Yeah. I never said it was mid. I really enjoyed it.
So.
Please excuse me from the mid
now. It's mid 0.5.
No.
Mid 0.5.
I'm sorry. I can name another album that'll be very controversial if I name it that's more mid. But I don't think the album's mid. I just think, again, huge hype to live up to Un Verano Sin Ti, and I really liked it. But there are a couple points where you can go, okay, this is definitely different. But I really enjoyed it. I'll keep listening to it.
It's not even about switching genres. We're not saying that he should keep doing pop con como Un Verano Sin Ti mezclado con obviamente dembow y reggaeton, etc. Es que after a while, the lyrics just sound the same.
That's the thing when you do 22 songs.
Exactly. When it's like a vault version. So it should have been shorter. Yeah. If it had been shorter, diablo.
If it would have been like ended in Thunder and Lightning, like I think we all agree that if it would have ended in Thunder and Lightning, perfect. And if you would have added the Villana remix,
I lost interest.
If you would have added the Villana remix, set, done, it's over.
So, entonces, what are the songs that como que you guys go back to with this album?
Fina.
Monaco.
Mr. October. Evo 787. Where She Goes, claro.
Okay, I go back to like Teléfono Nuevo.
Mm-hmm.
Y Mercedes Carrota for a reason. I know. Pero okay. Como que lately I've been vibing con Perro Negro. I don't know why.
Bueno. Did everyone share what they wanted to share about the album?
Yes.
I'm hopeful to go to his concert. I really am.
Me too.
Not in the United States.
I'm manifestando que the posers will be able to see him in Puerto Rico.
Oh, I will. I'm manifesting it for me right now. I'm going.
Yeah. If it doesn't happen, Josie, at least we saw him in SNL.
I'm in. Yeah.
They still haven't shipped my SNL shirt. I'm kind of waiting.
Yeah. It's nice. It's a good shirt.
Yes.
Pero, yeah, collective manifestation and prayer circle aquí en Phone Posers para todos los boricua que quieren ver a Bad Bunny. Esperemos que se nos dé. Esperemos sí. que los precios estén riquísimos en el sentido que estén baratos. Las 3B. Bueno, bonito y barato. Y pues nada.
But it also doesn't, but it also that doesn't convince like a bunch of people to show up here de la nada.
Ay, no, ya tú sabes, porque había gente en otra fila que es como que, ay, yo quiero ver a Bad Bunny en Puerto Rico. Y como que, no.
That's for us.
There was a guy who came and did the line in person, like booked a flight just to do the line mm-hmm. in person from the United States to get his ticket, go back to where he was from, and then he was going to come back for the show.
Mano, esto no Hamilton, váyanse.
No, it's not. But then
anyways,
if you slandered this album on Twitter, don't go looking to get this ticket for the show because he said it. It's not for you. If you uh-huh. don't live for the album, this isn't for you.
Boricua. Exacto. A los primos, we make fun of our cousins. It's a bullying con cariño.
I kind of love that though, when he was like, esto no es un verano sin ti, if that's what you're expecting for this album, or if that's what you want to hear on this tour, que, mano, I'm sorry,
totally
don't buy
fine.
The ticket.
That's totally fine. Pero también no estás diciendo this is just for the real fans. Y después como que, do you mean the rich fans?
I experienced him for the first time in live and We the Future where he sang Dile and Creepy Kush. I am one mm-hmm. of the OGs. So by that token, it would be criminal if I don't have a ticket to see him in the Choli sale. I'm just
case
saying.
Closed. Case and that's all for today's closed. Episode. We'd like Benito to thank you for listening. Amen. Yeah, te dimos una listita completa. Speaking of, we have Letterboxd right now. You can follow us at Phone Posers on Letterboxd. And I'm going to get to the rest of our socials. But we are on Letterboxd, if I haven't said it enough already. And all the films that we mentioned here are going to be in a very special list on our Letterboxd. Anyways, we'd like to thank you for listening and to give a shout out to all the kind people sending love our way. Thank you for continuing to listen to our show, even though we haven't been as consistent as we did. But also remember, this podcast started during the pandemic, and it's kind of hard to keep up with the pressures of a podcast, especially when we do not have, like, it's us. This is a very nice little family project at this point.
Yes.
Estoy buscando la cartulina el día antes de una presentación. Pero siempre lo logramos.
Sí.
Y nunca dejamos el glue stick tampoco.
Exacto.
No, amén. El Stick siempre está, la cartulina siempre está, el Walgreens siempre está abierto para quienes, los Film Posers. Ahora,
amén.
If you like to keep up with us, make sure to follow us at Film Posers on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook, and Letterboxd. Where can they find you, posers?
You can find me on Twitter at Gabby_Burgos27 and on Instagram at GabbyCristina. Sorry, Letterboxd.
You can find me on Twitter as Anna_Sophia53 and on TikTok as Anna_Sophia533.
Let's go.
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, and TikTok at Leading Mohicans.
You can find me on Twitter, Letterboxd, and TikTok at The Josie Marie. And again, thank you for listening. And remember, we're all Film Posers. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.